SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Thursday, Breeders' Cup fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online, and at our website too, stevebick.com, and I'll be frank, we're off to a bad Breeders' Cup start. This morning, I start to work, and then I have to go print, there's a lot of printing to do. I mean, the way I operate. and last night, I had no trouble printing the PPs. PPs, whatever it was, 60 pages. And I sat down after Tina headed for school, and I wanted to print. The Thoroughgraph package is out, the pre-entry Thoroughgraph figs. And I got a certain approach with that, start with the dirt races and worry later about the turf. But the printer wouldn't print. And I'm not the most technically adept. Case will tell you when it comes to the computer stuff. I'm not good. But this was weird because it would pop up. You know how the little printer pops up on your screen and with the number of pages or the number of print jobs. So it would do that, and then it would disappear. So we do the rebooting. We do the rebooting of the printer. We do put the connections in and out, plug in, plug out. And this goes on for now. It's 15 minutes. Now it's 25 minutes, and I am not patient. And it's a good thing that Tina had gone to school because if I start to. if I start to mutter under my breath loudly, she'll come in and I'll be admonished for for getting frustrated. Not supposed to get frustrated. Anyway, so finally, I see there's a little dialogue box that says, HP something something will damage your computer. So what are you talking about? It's the same HP driver that, has been, I've been using these same little portable, these HP computers that I carry around for ever since Mike Welch, actually. Welch showed it to me. Mike had one at Calder, and it would spit out 20 pages in a minute, and so I started buying them, and I've had like a parade of five or six of them. Anyway, so finally, I said, all right, I took it out. I deleted the computer and reloaded it and do a couple of tries. Anyway, it took close to an hour from about 7 to 8. I got to tell you, once those pre-entries are out, this is like fail safe. The clock is ticking. you got only a certain amount of time. And that's also true of what we do. Although today we'll have a mixed bag today. We'll, start to wade into the action. I'm sure Steve Askin's got some thoughts. We'll get Rich Eng. I want Rich to talk about his approach. We haven't talked to Rich for a couple of weeks. And what else? We've got Tony. Oh, I want to get Tony in because, of course, Collegeville girls win. Maybe we'll fold in Richie Vega, too, if he's got a couple of minutes to congratulate Richie on Collegeville getting that elusive breakthrough win Saturday in New York. We've got, obviously, there is some racing this weekend. It's kind of a mixed bag. There's Best of Ohio and a few other, stake things going on. And so we'll glance ahead a little bit at that. Tomorrow, too, The sale, of course, is wrapping up today, and we'll do the recapping actually tomorrow. Nicole Russo apologized. She sent me a note and said, you know, she's been buried. So Nicole, actually be very timely, we'll get all 4 days. We'll get Nicole's sale wrap tomorrow, and we'll get her glances at the pre-entered fields for the juvenile turf sprint and for the grown-up turf sprint. And on that topic, as we start to think about, you know, what we saw, there's some people that are not thrilled about the way, you know, some of the selection committee, and this is, you know, we get this every year, the selection committee frustrations, and I was, you know, trying to keep an eye on it yesterday, as, you know, we only had a few minutes at the top of the hour. But, you know, I give you one that I, you know, that I saw at first, at least I thought I saw it, but it turns out once you extract the dirt mile, once you extract the sprint runners, because CZ Rocket is going to go in the sprint and Vekoma is going in the sprint. And Global Campaign is going in the Classic. So three horses will come out of the body of the selected dirt mile field, and that will make room for Pirate's Punch, Jesus's Team, and Mr. Money. I thought Mr. Money was going to have to wait for a scratch, but that distinction falls to True Timber right now. He would be first in otherwise. So that was one that caught my eye. Our friend Lee Einsiedler, Lee and I had been tracking. I was, you know, helping him trying to track horses toward the mile, and I don't know if it's, you know, a case where the, you know, the selection committee goes out of its way to accommodate the international crowd, and in this case, Coolmore, but. Lope E. Fernandez being preferred on the list ahead of Casa Creed, a little tough to swallow, frankly. I mean, Casa Creed has got points. He's got points and has got better, more earnings than Lope E. Fernandez, because right now, when you look at that mile field, I mean, Starship Jubilee is almost certainly in the filly and mare turf, as we discussed with Kevin Attard the other day. A Sharp Samurai is going in the dirt mile. So Lope Fernandez stands to run right now, and that means Casa Creed has to wait for perhaps somebody to, you know, not participate. And, you know, that's a frustrating scenario. I felt bad for, you know, for Lee, who was, you know, and was looking forward to going and being at Breeders' Cup. Now, of course, the thing about O'Brien is there's no guarantee that, you know, he has pre-entered countless horses over the years, from the Ballydoyle team, and then not shown up with them. That, you know, whether it's decisions about the way the turf is coming up, or just, you know, they just want to be positioned depending on what, as they say, the lads decide. So that was a part of the morning. The majority of the main races, there isn't anything seemingly, you know, too problematic. You know, the turf, looking at that group, there's a couple of races that don't have, you know, big full fields. And the turf, you know, it, one of them potentially, because Mean Mary and Madai, both may be seemingly heading to the filly and mare turf. So that leaves you 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, in the turf. The filly and mare turf, nice size field. There are some, you know, if Tarnawa's going in the regular turf, then, you know, there's a little bit of room for a move up. I've told you about the mile. And then came, the turf sprint and the juvenile races, obviously, with tons and tons of, extra horses. The juvenile has one alternative, and the juvenile filled up, interestingly, the juvenile filled up well, and Dale Romans wasn't sure that Smiley Sobotka would get in, but he did, and that field of 14, you had the late addition. Baffert had talked about they had talked about running back classier on the short rest, and they entered, but of course Jackie's Warrior, the big target on the back. I mentioned yesterday, just as we were watching the juvenile fillies, smallish group of eight, but boy, these are a very accomplished and nice looking. When you sit down with those PPs, that's a very nice group of eight. You didn't necessarily need, 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th, miscellany. The juvenile turf races, as mentioned, there's overflow, and we'll have to get into some of the, the international participants that you gotta have to get familiar with. There's there's quite a few that are hoping to run. There will be room, it seems, for two of the fillies to get in, and Baltus, the tetragonal, figures to get in because McPeak cross-entered both Crazy Beautiful and Simply Ravishing, who are expected to, to main track it. So that opens the door for tetragonal and for Union Gables. And excited for Anthony and his newly christened stable, the longtime Bob Patterson Racing. They've got a new moniker, and Union Gables looks to run in the juvenile fillies turf, and the turf sprint. There's 24, 27 horses entered, and looking at those potential, the potential for a couple to come out, Campanelle from Wesley Ward and Outador from Wesley and Royal Approval, all cross-entered. Union Gables would have the choice because she also could go in the turf sprint. So the Pletcher's got that option, and there'd be any number. Into the Sunrise for Wesley could get in, and County Final for Steve Asmussen, and Jonathan Wong, Windy City Red would figure to get in. The horse that looks like he's on the outside is that horse that Cassie talked about the other day, the private purchase, Dirty Dangle. Dirty Dangle doesn't, right this second, I think, is going to be... A lot of this hinges on Wesley Ward and how he decides. So a lot of things that have to happen for draw day when it comes to the juveniles. And there was some unfortunate pieces of news yesterday that will deny some horses from participating. And the one that really kind of jumped up and bit you. Bella Fina, who literally had entered, and then after training hours, Simon Callahan and Kaleem Shah announcing that she was retired. Something minor. They didn't really specify. We know that Zulu Alpha isn't running with a left front problem. Michael Way announcing that. But the Bella Fina coming out, that came as a surprise. And Donna Veloce also. She didn't get her own. She didn't even get her own press clipping. She didn't even get. She was a thrown in two for one. Donna Veloce retiring as well. But Bella Fina is going to go to Uncle Mo and she had a nice career. She you know, kind of fishtailed for a little bit, but then she kind of righted the ship. So that was a name that, you know, already has come out, and I suppose there, you know, there obviously is still potential for some other horses to demur between now and an entry, and not entry, but draw day. And, you know, then you hope that everybody just stays okay from that point into Friday and Saturday. You've got, you know, the sprint. It was interesting because you had you've got a very nice full field lining up for the sprint, and you had quite a few horses that cross-entered into the dirt mile. I touched on that, so that you know, don't be completely, you know, don't have to worry about those. Frank's Roquette, we should mention, she appears that Bill Mott is going to run in the sprint with Frank's Roquette. So the preference for the 6 furlongs versus the 7 for the filly and mare sprint. Still a nice group, but it would be, you know, between Bella Fina coming out and Frank's Roquette heading toward the 3/4, that leaves you with Bell's the One, Come Dancing, Gamine, In the Midst of Biz, Sally's Curlin, Sconson, Serengeti, Speech, and Venetian Harbor. So a field of 9 for that filly and mare sprint. Good, you know, the sprint is going to be fun. It's great. I'm very pleased that the sprint gets a big full group again after some years where it was kind of struggling to fill. And, you know, we ended up with some smallish fields, but the sprint's going to be very good this year. Should be a lot of fun. I'm going to just let Case know. We got to get Dick Powell in here. And Dick, I know, he's got a morning appointment. So we're going to get started with Dick. I mentioned some unfortunate news, not just retirements. There was a passing that we're going to talk about, and we're going to get a visit from Helen Pitts and Einstein at Old Friends. Was put down, and he had was 18 and had come, I guess, last year to Old Friends in 2019. But he was, we'll talk about it with Helen. He was so versatile and all surfaces. You know, he actually got the benefit of, you know, that synthetic era, and he could synth, he could main track, he could obviously turf, and you're going to be amazed. I mean, for those that don't really, for some reason, if you don't remember, you know, it's listen, it's actually what, 2008-09. You know, he had a 5-year career, and Helen kept him good a long time. I got to see him up close several times, actually, including at Edina, where he was standing, and Eric Hamelbeck walked me around and got to see him. And I tweeted last night that I was, when we were at Churchill for Derby, and this had to be before we moved to the mornings. We must have been when we were still a 4-7 show. And so probably maybe 2008. And I got to go out in the morning, walk out with Helen and I want to say probably June, probably Le Perru, and watch him work for the Woodford. He ran in 4 Woodfords. He ran in the Clark, and he won a big cap. And I mean, he was a really cool horse. And we'll do everything we can to not get Helen upset. But I you know, even under these circumstances, it'd be great to talk to Helen Pitts, who I think the world of and does just a, I mean, just a terrific horseman. So we'll get Helen in here today. There was also a retirement that I saw first thing this morning from the international set. And when we say international, Magic Wand was retired earlier this morning. you gotta go look at that career because it's bizarre. Dick Powell's standing by. Dick, can you equate another horse with Magic Wand's career in terms of literally when they say globetrotting? You know, they mean okay, the horse flew around the world one time. She flew around over and over and over and over. I put up the list of countries that she participated. 28 starts, 20 Group 1 or Grade 1s, 19 different ovals, England, Ireland, France, America, Dubai, Saudi Arabia, Hong Kong, Australia.
And I think she won the McKinnon Stakes.
Yeah,
in Australia
last year. Yep.
Yep. And the only ones that come to mind, there was a filly years ago, Alexandra Goldrun.
Oh yeah.
Who went all over the place. Ouija Board went to the Japan Cup. Couple of bounced around because when you get to the end of the year, you get to the second half of the year, there's so much money out there.
Hmm.
I mean, it's just amazing because you can race right up until December in Hong Kong, and some have gone to Japan, and you know, just $3-5 million purses just sitting there. So when you look at those type horses, you look at a Highland Reel. And you know, they have $10 million in earnings and $5 million and $6 million. It's just because it just piles up with these big pots. But you got to go find the big pots. And Aiden was always, as we'll see coming up Tuesday in the Melbourne Cup, Aiden's never afraid to get on a plane and go for the big pots.
Now, she'll be missed by literally an international fan base because everybody just kind of marveled at wherever she was turning up. And we got to see her, I think, five times in North America. She never won in North America. She had a lot of seconds. She had, I think, 3 seconds, a third and a fourth. A couple of Pegasus turf tries. She was second in the Man of War, right? Second in the Arlington Million.
What did they used to call those mares? Hickory.
Still using that. That absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. This was something. I gave out an Well, Dick, I know you're pressed a little bit this morning. We're going to talk to Helen after Dick, and I was hoping that Jim Gluckson would join us, but he's getting on a plane, so we'll have to get to Jim maybe tomorrow. Actually, tomorrow's going to be kind of a grab bag of conversations with a lot of Breeders' Cup stuff, so maybe we'll do that with Jimmy, because I do want to go through, I'll slip this in today, the race order and some of the wagering menu intricacies, 3 2-day doubles and that kind of stuff. So we'll feather all that in, but I can't get Jimmy on today. So Dick, your quick impressions of the way these fields shaped up.
Well, I downloaded everything, printed them out. It's hard to get started in some of the races with all the preferences and the cross entering and. You were just clearing up some of that, like with the Dirt Mile and stuff, and that's going to take some time to start getting a feeling for, who's actually going to be in the race. But when you work your way backwards from the Classic, and the Classic is a jaw dropper. I mean, it's as deep as could be. So, Classic is fantastic. The turf with all the international horses will be tremendous. The mile with the international horses will be tremendous. We don't know the grounds. You know, Keeneland, November. It could look like Ascot or Longchamp. So we'll see what the weather looks like. You know, we got that one storm coming through. I know Belmont's off the turf today. Then eventually the remnants of that Zeta is going to come through. At least, yeah, we'll definitely at Kentucky. And then we'll see what next week brings. So even then with the Europeans, you don't know what kind of ground they're getting, because a lot of the Europeans come over hoping to get firm ground. They're not necessarily soft turf specialists. They come here kind of hoping for firm ground. They may or may not get it. We saw that the last Keeneland Breeders' Cup with Golden Horn, who was the big favorite in the turf. And Gosden basically said he does not like any kind of giving the ground. And sure enough, there was giving the ground. And I had a big bet on Found. Found had run in the Ark, had run in the Champions Philly race 3 weeks before. Looked like she was just floundering at the end of the season, but she got the right round and she was spectacular. Now she has a son who's, I think, in the Breeders' Cup. And, we'll see what the ground comes up and looks like. And the turf sprints, those races, that's just so tough. I mean, wow. Gate opens and who knows what's going to happen. So it'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it. It's a lot of horses to leaf turf.
It's true, and when it comes to, you know, just reaching for the stack here, I separate, and I'm going to ask you the same question. Every day this week so far, we've been having, how do you bet the cup, not specifics in terms of these races, but in general. But I always start with the dirt and go through the dirt races and get a handle, because invariably, they're just easier to digest in a hurry and get a feel for. And then from there, we start to wade through the turf. And like you said, when it comes to particularly the two juvenile races and the turf sprint, and, there are going to be some lineup adjustments. But give a quick treatise, Dick, before we talk Hong Kong, a little treatise on your betting approach to Breeders' Cup, typically.
I tend to stay vertical. It seems like horizontal is the way to go, but with rolling pick trees and things like that and huge fields, I just found vertical, for me, is the way to go, and stay with exactas. Stay with, win bets on decent price horses, and don't get too creative in the sense, because, yes, you could have an enormous pick five with 12 horse fields in each leg and stuff like that, but you got 12 horse fields with 10 of them having legitimate shots, and that's tough to pare down without spreading out too much. And then you got to manage your money. You got 2 days, and you can't overdo it on Friday. So, yeah, it'd be nice to get off to a good start Friday and have bullets for Saturday, but that doesn't always work out. You certainly don't want to be short for Saturday. So I just as soon go vertical, not go all out unless there's something that I really, really like. My weakness tends to be, Steve, I might be too Eurocentric, and sometimes I'll miss a really good domestic horse on the turf at a good price, if I get too enamored with some of the shippers.
Well, I hear you. That depends on what your inclination is, and given how much international focus you have, it's hard not to be enamored or have a maybe a preconceived predilection, on certain horses that have ingrained themselves on you over the course of the year. I mean, that's also true. That's also true, frankly, for any of the races that I talked about this the other day, where you latch onto a horse during the course of the year, and you just say, there's my Breeders' Cup Sprint winner. You know, the people who latched onto Yaupin, and he very well could win. But it's important to really go through these races, particularly right now, even when there is no gate, where there's no, you don't have to start worrying about where people are launching from. But when you go through here, try to, clean the blackboard and go in with a completely open mind, and just go through and evaluate, the horses for what they are and their form coming in. And this is going to be particularly a unique year because of, the interruption lines, particularly from, March to, let's say, June 1, where there's going to be these gaps and, there's less to go on. And, we've talked to some people, Dick, and have said, have you inadvertently gotten a break for the horse that is going to benefit you? And they're like, yes, this may pay off. So it's a year to really go in with clean glasses.
Yeah, and I tend to overreact to post position. And the reality is, when you look back at Breeders' Cup charts, you got horses winning from 14,
yep.
12.
Yep.
And I just tend to put too much weight onto that, and it doesn't hold up historically.
Well, and if there's anybody among our lineup, Rick Hammerly, I'd like to think, has cured a lot of people of that, because over the years, Rick has said, don't worry about it. Particularly, when we were talking, about Santa Anita races, but it, not confined just to Santa Anita. Most recently, in fact, at Santa Anita, Caracanti. People say, 14, you can't win from there. Why? What are you talking about? You can't. You're right. That's an unwarranted concern. I mean, if you like the horse, Hammer reminds people of this almost on a weekly basis when we're handicapping races, and it's good advice.
The world's greatest racing event. Not the world's greatest race, the world's greatest racing event will be Monday night from Melbourne, Australia, the Melbourne Cup, it's going to be run without spectators, which is just going to be, that's just going to be beyond weird. But a fantastic field coming up, and international horses, local horses, all pulled together, going 2 miles on the handicap conditions. Females going in against boys. I mean, it's just the race literally has it all. The carnival begins Saturday, and when the carnival is finished, they draw the Melbourne Cup. And not only is the draw a big deal, but it also who gets in, because it's still horses on the fence, and some of them get in based on Saturday's results. So that's just the field takes shape. And then from Saturday night to Tuesday Melbourne time, all you hear, read, is the Melbourne Cup. So it's just, when you're there, it's just out of this world. And I wish I was there. I'm not, but I will be watching and I will be betting. And Aidan O'Brien has had this terrific season down under. He was second in the Caulfield Cup with Anthony Van Dyke, who will be back in the Melbourne Cup. He was second in the Cox Plate with Armory, who I don't think is going to the Melbourne Cup. We might see him back in Hong Kong. And now he has Anthony Van Dyke and Tiger Moth, who is Tiger Moth is the early favorite. So
right.
Aidan O'Brien has two big shots. His son Joseph has a couple of shots. And then you got Sir Dragonet, who won the Cox Plate. Very impressively, used to be an Aidan O'Brien horse, purchased privately now based in Australia. and very elegant is a nurse, and she'll be very, very tough. And Russian Camelot and Kumar dominated the Cox Plate, their sires, Camelot and Galileo, and I think the other one was Australia, swept the top four positions in the Cox Plate. So you're going to see recognizable pedigrees, recognizable horses, trainers, things like that. The jockey assignments are going to be unusual. I don't know who's shipping in for the race with quarantine issues and things like that, but that'll be something I can't wait.
It's always it's always great, and I've wanted for years, I've wanted to go as well, and we'll one day a couple of names. I'm glad you mentioned Tiger Moth and the, you know, the three of, somebody asked me at Derby Trail, our friend Kenny Papp, and you know, I mentioned Very Elegant and Anthony Van Dyke out of the Caulfield Cup, Sir Dragonette the other day out of the Cox Plate, but Surprise Baby is taking a lot of, you know, advanced money on the market, and is in amongst the, you know, the other names. So Surprise Baby probably deserves to be included in this discussion among the, you know, the four, five, six top choices.
Yeah, and you get a glimpse now of the early betting, the early fixed odds wagering, which shifts, but you'll see, you know, who's taking money, who seems to be hot, who seems to be not hot. Three horses are on the vet examination, none of the big contenders, and yeah.
The race that stops a nation. There you go.
It truly does. On a Tuesday.
On the first Tuesday in November. And we'll probably talk to, we'll get a hold of, probably, I don't know if I should wait till Monday. That's kind of, that's asking a lot. We'll get Andrew Hawkins in, certainly. And get his take. All right, turning our attention, Dick, to the Hong Kong action.
Okay, last Saturday, not Sunday. Last Saturday, shot 10 at 10 races, all on the turf. Only one favorite won, which is unusual for shot 10. Shot 10's been the track that favorites tend to do better. Zach Purton won 3, Joe 2, Jerry Chow won 2. Jerry still has a 10-pound apprentice. He's about to lose that any race now. He had a suspension in October, and I was looking through Stewart's reports, and he has another suspension coming. I said, this kid's a 10-pound rider, and he's been winning. He's a really good rider, but he's kind of under the eye of the Stewart's because they're keeping an eye on him and what his tactics are and everything else. But that's, you know, the better riders tend to be the ones that get suspended the most. But the star Sunday was Mighty Giant. He won the Class 2. No stake races on Saturday, excuse me. Won a Class 2 and won 20.79 for 7 furlongs from post 10. He's clearly stakes bound. That was a Class 2, so he'll be up in group company his next start. Yesterday at Happy Valley was kind of the flip side of Sha Tin. We had 5 favorites win at Happy Valley, which never happens. 5 out of the 9 races were won by favorites, and it was kind of an odd card. The first 3 races were won by the rail. So you're thinking, oh, well, inside's going to dominate. Well, then the next races were run from post 9, post 10, post 8, post 12, and post 11. And then finally, the last race, which I'll talk about, was won by the horse on the rail. So it was just kind of inside out. It was pouring rain at the end of the card, but naturally no effect on the running times. And we saw last year 19 inches of rain, no effect. Yesterday, just drenching rain coming down the last hour. Columbus County won the last race of the day, a Class 2 with Joe up in the irons. Was ninth early, stuck on the rail. he starts kind of sneaking up, and then when they make that quick turn for home in the short stretch at Happy Valley, everyone drifted out. Joe came right up the rail. One, you couldn't win any easier. Just a hand ride to the wire. So very, very classy ride by Joe for Casper Founds. Casper had two winners on the day. Joe had four winners yesterday. Zach got shut out. So after yesterday's races, Joe now has 30. Zach has 20. And is it Jerry Chow? Karis Teton has, 18. Joe has a suspension coming up. November 4th and November 9th, so he's going to miss a couple of days of racing. But he's already 10 ahead in the rider standings. Casper Founds has 17 wins. He's 6 ahead of Tony Cruz, Frankie Lohr, and Francis Liu. Good news, 19 off-course betting shops are opening in Hong Kong as COVID seems to be relenting a little bit over there. So they are on whatever tamping down or whatever the opposite of tamping down is, they're opening up some of the shops, not all of them, but they're doing a little bit more. And wanted to mention Exultant is running this Saturday, Sunday morning in the Sasa Ladies Purse Group 3 Horse of the Year. He's by Teofilo. Teofilo had a big weekend for Jimmy Bulger, who was the sire of Max Swinney, and there's a whole story behind Jimmy naming Max Swinney after this gentleman who 100 years ago, almost to the date, committed suicide on a hunger strike. He was an Irish patriot, and sure. The stuff Jim Bulger wrote about was very, very moving. Then he bred a horse named Gear Up, who won the Grand Criterium Saint Cloud Group 1 for Mark Johnston. It's kind of interesting because Max Swinney is by new approach out of a Teofilo mare, so Jimmy trained both of them, and that's 2x3 inbreeding to Galileo. Now that's pretty close, but in this case, it seems to have worked. He has one of the favorites for next year's Epsom Derby. So that was an interesting connection to Saturday's races, where Exultant makes his return to the races in race 8. The ladies' purse handicap does have to carry 133 pounds. So, and it drew a big field. Some of our group stake races don't get the full gate, but this one did. So as far as picks, going to go to race number 1, 2,000 meters. Going to go around twice at Sha-Tin. I like number 4, Blastoise. Jerry Chow gets in with the 10 pounds off, so he's in with 116. This is his second start of the year. He was a good third in his first start. That was what Jerry draws post six. Should save some ground, gets in late. Should be tough in the opener. Race 5, we like number 4, Amazing Rocky. This one exit that very fast 5-furlong race. That Sparkling Dolphin won. He was third. That was his career debut. He took money. He went off at 4-1. And I think now stretching out to 6 furlong, going around to 1 turn, should not be a problem for him. Karis Teton rides from post 2. That's number 4, Amazing Rocky, in race 5. And then finally, race number 7. We're going to go with number 7, Winning Method. Danny Shum, Zach Purton. Returned to the races with a decent effort and then kind of went a little bit backwards last time. Had a tough trip. Flew home 21-4, so was in traffic. When he finally extricated himself, he came flying home. Well, now he goes to 1,000 meters. He goes from 1-turn races to 1,000 meters. He draws post 8. I made a mistake last week, Steve. I'm pretty sure I did. When you draw the high numbers, you're on the stand side in the 1-turn races. So he drew post 8, which is kind of in the middle of the field. But if you draw the 1, you're on the far side. If you draw the 12, you're on the stand side. So I think I made that mistake last week. But Winning Method should appreciate, and he's won twice going 1,000 meters on the straightaway at Sha-Tin. So Winning Method number 7 in race number 7 will be our third pick of the night. And see how much sleep I get the next 4 or 5 nights with Australia and Hong Kong and prepping, doing my work for the Breeders' Cup. And a lot of that'll be the good thing. I got something to watch while I'm working.
And we should mention, you know, next week, I'm sure we'll talk and you can provide, you know, some overall perspective. But again, your analysis, you know, yours and Rich Eng's and Gus, you know, all will be available, at BrizNet, right? You'll do a full card write up, at Briz.
Yes.
All right.
And also quickly, I forgot to mention, Steve, we're at shot 10 on Sunday, all turf. Running on the A course, so back on the inside. But Wednesday, we're at shot 10 for a morning card hour time, and all 8 races are on the all weather. So we will not be at Happy Valley on Wednesday. We'll be at shot 10 for all weather racing, same time as Happy Valley would be going off. Little change in the schedule there. 12:45 this coming Saturday night, Sunday morning, and I believe. It depends on if looks like they're running 8 races, so it'll probably be 7:30 Wednesday morning for shot 10 all weather races.
Excellent. Well, Deck, we'll talk next week, and we'll do a little more cup as well, and probably have obviously we'll have HK JC to talk about, and we'll have the Melbourne Cup in the bag if there's a final cup opinion to pass along. Let me know.
I'll text it to you, definitely.
Sweet. Dick Powell, everybody, and the Hong Kong Jockey Club. We're going to stay right here, and Helen Pitts is going to join us because the word came yesterday that from old friends, Michael Blowen and the team, and cancer has taken Einstein and at the age of 18, and he had only been pensioned, I think, last year, so... He really did not get a full and relaxed retirement, but he certainly had a full and fabulous racing career, and it was authored on the care part by Helen Pitts, who joins us now. Helen, really sorry to hear this.
Yeah, it was a sad day, very sad day. A lot of memories. You know, he's one that he comes up in conversation every day, whether it was, you know, shortly after he retired or whether it was a week ago. Julian Le Perreux and I were just talking about a week ago, actually on his 18th birthday. And he's just a horse you don't ever forget.
He just, you said that he had just turned 18.
Yes, on the 23rd of October, yep. He made his first start the day before his third birthday.
Oh, how funny.
He's Brazilian.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, just turned 18 last week, and Julian stopped by the barn, and we were reminiscing.
take us back to the start of his career, and it really coincides with you know, emerging and starting your barn.
He was. I mean, he was. You know, he put me on the map, and I mean, he was just a special individual. I mean, it was. You know. He was in as a kind of just turned 2 year old, and then we just kind of took our time with him. And anyway, he came back the summer of his, you know, an American would be 3 year old year, but he hadn't quite turned 3. But needless to say, he made his first start that fall at Keeneland, and came to Churchill, and you know, won his next start. It was an off the turf race, and kind of moved forward from there. And he just, I mean, he's just a horse that just loved the game. He loved to train. He was kind of a punk when he was young, but the older he got, the better he got. but he was just a hard knocker, you know. He just, I mean, loved life.
You mentioned, it's funny, the off the turf aspect, and one of the things that ended up, you know, being remarkable about him was the interchangeability. You literally, during the, you know, the widespread era of synthetic, you basically could look at any top level stake at a variety of distances with him on the dirt, on the turf, and on synthetic.
And that's what you got to love about him. I mean, he'd run on broken glass. It didn't matter. He'd run down a rock road. I mean, you look at he went the mile in 133 down at Gulfstream, you know, and then he goes a mile and a quarter. It just, you know, it didn't matter. And that's what was, you know, you had to love about him. I mean, he runs, you know, grade ones on every surface. That, you know, obviously the Santa Ana Handicap was that was a grade one to begin with. But, it, you know, he's just, that's what you had to love about him. He ran the Stephen Foster, and he, you know, it didn't matter. You could look at any angle.
And I'm just looking down at the PPs. He ran 30 times from 2005 to 2009. And you mentioned when we were talking off air, too, about the Turf Classic, the Woodford at the time. And, you know, he kept coming back in the Turf Classic. He missed, right? 4 years in a row. That included English Channels in 2006, and then
yeah, and he was only three then.
Yeah,
I mean, he was three. He was four American, but that was in May of his basically 4 year old year. But he wouldn't have been four till October, and that's what was, you know, I don't want to say I had to remind myself all the time, but he was basically almost a year behind, and that's what was, you know, neat about him is he was just. You know, that first part, when I ran him in the Gulfstream Park Handicap and you know, the Pan American, he was, you know, he was still young, very young.
But, you know, I'm looking at the stages of his career, and I talked earlier in the show, you know, when I mentioned you were going to visit, and I talked about going out on the grass course and watching him work. Leading up, I'm gonna guess actually now it was maybe one of those earlier, I thought maybe before a win, but it might have been as early as 2006 maybe, because I remember Rafi Bejarano working him, and I started to say Bejarano, and then I thought better of it, but now I realize...
Well, he wrote in the first one, yeah. So it must have been the first one.
I think it was, because I remember...
Yeah, and then Robbie wrote him in the second one. And the third one, he win the third one on him, and then Julian win the fourth time he ran in it on him.
There it is. Yeah.
Yeah, and he ran into Stephen Foster twice. He was second to Curlin, had a horrible trip, and got beat a length to Curlin. You know, he was just so smart, and just, you know, he was just a neat horse. He was just a neat horse to be around. I mean, I just, you know. You let him over there, and he was going to give you everything he got. The only day he let me down was the Breeders' Cup. I'm not sure what happened that day, but that was probably the worst race in his career. But, you know, it was, you know, it is what it is. I can't even say he let me down, because he was as good to me as you could ever have asked a horse to be.
Well, and that Breeders' Cup is notable. I mean, it was Zenyatta's Breeders' Cup, but what...
Yeah, that was when Quality Road got scratched in the gate.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Todd Fletcher.
And we all had to back out, and we had to wait forever behind the gate. And, it was a mess. And I don't know if that's what set him off, because it didn't take much to set him off, just to get him flustered, you know. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, but maybe after that he was cooked. I don't know. But, yeah, Quality Road, we were loading in the gate, and I was already in. Pretty much everybody was in, and they scratched him in the gate. He went crazy in the gate, and then we all had to back out again and start over. And then Donna won it.
Well, and that was the year that he had won. You know, he had been out there already and had won.
Yeah, and that was why we kind of went, was because of because he'd won so well in the Santa Anita Handicap. I mean, I thought it was a no brainer. But you know, it is what it is. Like I said, but I mean, he was as honest as you could ask a horse. If you look at his PPs, you know, he just, I mean. Nine graded stakes at Churchill. I don't know how many I counted total. 13 graded stakes total, I think maybe it is. I can't. But, I mean, you know, his last 13 races were all grade ones or grade twos.
Wow. And, you know, that, to give everybody
16,
an idea.
The last 16 starts. Last yeah, 16 we're all. Starts were grade one or grade two.
Yeah, starting
and Polly.
Yeah, Gulfstream Park.
The Don. starting with the Don from there on out, and the Don of
there 08. It is. Yep.
Yep. His last 16 starts were all grade ones or grade twos. I mean, he just, you know, I don't think they make horses like him anymore. But he just, you know, he just had a heart of gold, and I mean, he loves the game and just so smart. I mean, I could pull up in my car in the afternoon and he, you know, go crazy. Just he'd make your day. I mean, he just, you weren't ever in a bad mood when you were around him, unless he was trying to kill me.
Well, and you mentioned off air too that he was always calling for you. He was always screaming.
Oh, he was just, you know, he would, you know, if I was in the office, he was always in that first stall, and if he heard my chair roll or something, or I opened that door and came out, I mean, he would go crazy thinking he was going to get a peppermint. But heck, sometimes I'd have shut the door if I was on the phone because I couldn't hear because he screamed so loud. But he was special. He was a special, very, very special. I mean, he was wonderful to me. We traveled a lot of miles together.
Yeah, and I'm looking at, yeah, I mean, when you talk about Churchill, Keeneland, Gulfstream, Pimlico, that was a crazy Dixie where he had to.
Yeah, I mean, I think he'd have been tough that day, too, yeah. When horse fell in front of him, broke down in front.
Yes, that's right. Arlington tried the million and actually ran okay in that million.
He didn't run bad. He didn't get beat bad both times. I don't know that it was his favorite turf course, which you think a big horse like him it would be, but didn't get beat far either time. I mean, you know, you can't really fault him. I mean, got beat three lengths one year, and he got beat, where is the other year?
09, the Pacific Classic.
That was the year Giapponi won it. He didn't run very good that year. But the first year he ran in it, Spirit One won it, and he only got beat three lengths, you know. But, I mean, he loved Churchill, whether it was, you know, turf or dirt, he loved it here. Absolutely loved it here. He loved training here. He just was, you know, he was, there's no words to describe him. He was my best friend.
Remember.
You look back at horses that, you know, one running that long and staying sound, you know, never bled a day in his life, never wore a tongue tie, and you look back at his 30 starts, and you know, it's hard to find horses that do that.
11 wins, 4 seconds, 4 thirds for just under $3 million. And, I you know, one part of this that happened to catch my eye, you know, he's so associated with Frank Stronach and with Adina, but I had forgotten that he was a Midnight Cry horse at the beginning.
Yeah, yeah. I had him and Curlin together.
Yes.
Yeah.
And when did that...
Curlin came in as in 06. So he came in the summer of his two-year-old year, and then he ran as a, you know, work was made in 07 at Gulfstream. But yeah, I had the two of them together for Midnight Cry. Yeah.
And when did that fall apart? Did they sell him? When did they sell him?
Who, Curlin or Einstein?
Einstein. Well, Curlin, we remember
He ran in receivership for a while, and then they sold him. Oh, I'm trying to think when they did it. It was the fall. Was it Pacific Classic? It was just the last couple starts. Was he Stronach?
That he transferred over to the dark, the black jacket. Casey, I sent you a link, and let me know if you've got it, because we're going to listen to that 2009 Big Cap that I asked Helen what her favorite Einstein performance was. And, you know, when you think about his stallion career, I went looking for his best son, and his best son may be the steeplechaser, Iranistan. So he might still get a grade one winner.
Well, I hope so. He deserves one. But yeah, that's St. Anita Handicap. We've been out there for 2 weeks, and the groom and I went out there, and you know, we thought we'll just, you know, we'll take a shot on the synthetic, he'd won the Clark that fall, and then he came back and ran the Don, and he was, you know, he was doing good, trying to find something to set us up for the Woodford. And you know, we just took a shot on the synthetic, and we were out there for 2 weeks, and he went out there, and I breezed him, and, I mean, he was great. He, you know, he was, but, I mean, that's, you know, it was a $1 million race then, and it just, I want to say I might have been, I could be mistaken if I was the first woman to win it, but it was just, it was neat. It was neat.
That would make sense. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to listen to the 2009 Big Cap with Einstein, and then we'll talk about some you know, some current affairs too with Helen Pitts Blasi joining us, and this is Julian Leparue. Wasn't favored in here, and you'll hear some names you haven't heard in a while. Einstein in the Big Cap.
All set now for the $1 million Santa Anita Handicap. And away they go. They all appear to come out very smoothly. Matto Mondo from the inside gate going straight to the lead up alongside Cowboy Cal. Hirwadu Baffa tucking in behind them. Here's Einstein in the black cap going up to lead them. Zambezi Sun is right behind the leading group. Alongside of that comes Monba, only four lengths off these leaders. Magnum is racing in mid-pack with Blue Exit, white blinkers at the rail. They followed by Dansant. Alongside of that comes Cause. On the outside, Stream Cat in the red colors. And then we come back to Champs-Élysées, who's nine lengths off the leaders. And Court Vision trails by two. Past the 7/8 they go now, and Matto Mondo just at a nice steady pace out here leads them by a length and a half to Cowboy Cal. Hirwadu Baffa is tucked in at the rail, and Einstein is adjoined third. Zambezi Sun much more relaxed today. He's only four lengths off those leaders. Inside of that comes Monbu's traveling well enough under Garrett Gomez. Magnum in the white colors on the far side. Blue Exit has the white blinkers. They've been followed then by Stream Cat, who's tucked in behind seven off the leaders. Then it's Cause. Dansant has the black cap towards the rear, being followed then by Champs-Élysées, who's now nine off the leaders, and a length and a half behind that is Court Vision. Less than a half mile to go in the big cap now, and it's still Matto Mondo in front by half a length. They're turning the pressure on early. Cowboy Cal's been ridden along from second. Einstein's right there. Zambezi Sun on the far side. Hirwadu Baffa running a big one in the pink colors. In behind that comes Monba, who's having to be ridden along. Then Magnum. In behind that, Champs-Élysées. Court Vision is still far back. And pulled up as Blue Exit. They come for home now in the big cat, and Einstein comes up to tackle Matto Mondo for the lead, and Einstein strikes the front in the big cap. He's in full flight for the wire. Court Vision coming late in the center, but it's Einstein in front. Matto Mondo's in second. Champs-Élysées late, but it's going to be Einstein to win the big cap. Champs-Élysées flew for second, then it'll be Matto Mondo.
Wow, that gave me goosebumps.
It always does. And, you know, it's really an eclectic bunch. That was, you know, the horse that was coming, of course, Champs-Élysées for Frankel and Judmont.
And it's funny you said that. Brian Lynch and I were just sitting out here on the track about a week ago talking about that race and about that horse. And he'd had him up in Canada for Frank. And, I mean,
how funny.
Yeah. You know, when he worked for Bob, you know, with Bobby and stuff, for Frankel. And Bobby is sending that horse up in Canada and stuff, and we were just talking about that race the other day, and he was saying what a neat horse he was, you know, and what a nice horse he was. Good memories.
Einstein, and when was the last time you saw him?
I went and saw him last, which that's up, you know, upsets me. I've been wanting to get over there this year, but between, I mean, once COVID hit, and it was, you know, they shut down for a while over there and wouldn't let anybody in, and then this fall was hard to get over there, but late last fall into the winter, I went and saw him. I went and saw him when he first got to Old Friends, and then I saw him again after his, you know, he had a surgery there after he'd gotten there last year, and they removed a tumor from him. And he just looked so, after he had that surgery and they took that tumor out of him, he looked phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. And then I guess, you know, it came back and got the better of him, but he put up a good fight.
I'm going to slip in a piece of international news. Magical has been retired, seemingly injured after a gallop here today. So I said earlier, these pre-entries, you might get some things. Well, there you go. So cross Magical off of your Your turf list, unbelievable. Wow. You never know, boy. You hold your breath, Helen. Right?
You don't ever know in this game.
Unbelievable. Certainly, I'm going to take the opportunity. As we say goodbye to Einstein, take the opportunity to get familiar with what's been going on with you. And we actually had an exchange. 2 weeks ago, you had a very nice winner, and talk a little bit about. What's gone on, because you certainly haven't gone away from the game. You've had to take some time in spots. Talk about where you are right now and where you hope to go.
This game's probably not meant for the little guy anymore, but, we still keep plugging away, and I've got some nice babies. That filly that you and I spoke about a couple weeks ago in Indiana, she's a nice filly, and, it's just keep plugging away and doing the best you can, and I hope another Einstein or Curlin comes along, and good horses will make you look good. They'll help make you, carry you. But, it's a great game to be in, and it's nobody ever said it was easy. So between two kids and horses, it'll keep you busy. So,
on that topic, when I was saying time away, you took time to have a family, and that takes a certain amount of time and attention. But right now, you mentioned that winner at Indy, Chakra. This could be a very nice horse going forward.
I hope so. They're wonderful people that own her, and she's I've just taken my time with her. She's a big filly and a little mentally just, when I first got her, very kind of too forward, but she's really kind of mentally matured in the last 3 months, and I was tickled to death with her last week, and I thought she ran a big race. She's got a lot of speed, but I think in due time she'll stretch out too, I think she's got a great future ahead of her.
She's a Munnings and won that second start, and we were playing that day, and I kind of pushed her on. I pushed her on people.
You were my lucky star on that day. I just texted me.
I could just see that the key was that if you could get the lead with her.
I told Malcolm Franklin in the paddock. I said, Steve Bick told me if you get the lead, you win the race.
I told him.
I said,
I love it. I love it. $17 for those of us that latched on, because it just seemed like that she was perfect when you have horses making a second start and there's a hint of ability and you figure out an approach.
And I liked her first start, but I knew she'd probably need to figure it out and she's a big filly, so I don't know that she's ever going to be lightning fast away from there. I think that's kind of what got her the first time, got a little caught off guard. But she come running. I love the way she ran. And like you said, I think all she needed to do was break well the second start, and she was gone.
This was a turf sprint. What do you see? You got something circled for Churchill?
I'm hoping they'll put something up here for. There's nothing in the book on the grass, but there was actually a race at Allowance Race back in Indiana, but I believe there's grass racing. Work racing has come to a halt up there, but hopefully we can get something here for her. And who's to say she's not a filly that couldn't love the Tapita at Turfway this winter? And love it up there. I think she's got a good future. I think but if she likes that surface, I think she'll be a lot of fun.
We're talking about Chakra, Chakra, if you didn't latch on to her a few weeks ago at Indy. And you obviously got a few babies kicking around, too, yet to come. Where do you stand? I know you ran one at Churchill Wins the other day with Calvin.
That was a little bit of a tough spot, but it's, she run well. I'll run her back here. I think she probably wants to go a little bit further than that, but kind of one of those things you're forced to be in a spot. I like her. I think she's got a great future ahead of her, stretching out. I've got a Malibu Moon filly in today, which unfortunately we're waterlogged, but it is what it is. And then I've got a nice More Than Ready colt, actually a half-brother to that She's a Gypsy that I had that was a pretty nice filly, a Pioneer Denial filly. But so hopefully, you know, we got some nice ones coming along, and let's see what we can do.
How many are you working with right now, Helen?
We've got 10 here now. Got 10. I got some off and stuff, just, you know, kind of having some time, and they'll come back in this winter. And but it's, you know, it's a good number. It's, you know.
Well, for the season, when you mention you know, Turfway, you're staying. You're basically staying there.
Yeah, more than likely. I mean, I think what we've got will do, you know, do well here. I think the Turfway's got a great future ahead of it with the purses.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I don't think COVID has helped us this year, because I think this year was, you know, in past was to look to be a great year this year, but, you know, unfortunately with the situation now, but it's still, believe me, it's still better than it was 5 years ago. So, and I just think that new service is going to be phenomenal. It's just going to be so much better than what we've been running on up there. And I think if you got a horse that likes it, but I think the Tapita is much more, you know, I think it's going to be a lot better to run over than, like I said, than what we've had. But I think it's got a great future. And you know, there's a lot of people staying home this year and kind of getting the foot in the door and getting started. And I think between the purses and the new surface, I think it'll be a good deal.
Well, for those you know, in the region, from, you know, essentially, you don't have to be in Indiana, Ohio, Kentucky, but you couldn't be in better hands than if you want to send horses to Helen. And this one actually is your own, right? This Imperial Moon.
Yes, she is. I get on her every day. I feel like all that news came yesterday. I said, well, maybe she'll be my next Einstein. I don't know if I can get that lucky, but, you know, I'm the only one that's ever breezed her and getting on her, and she's just, she's a pistol, but she's so neat. And, you know, another kind of one of those things, I'm taking a shot today. I was kind of hoping there'd be some more scratches. It's off the turf, but, you know, we'll take a shot and see where we stand. But she's, you know, she's a lot of fun. She's a pistol.
Wow, she's a Judmont. It's a Judmont bred.
She is. I bought her last January at Keeneland. Yeah. Not really looking to buy her for myself, but ended up with her. And, you know, like I said, I'm not going to complain about it. She's, I love her. She's just a neat horse to be around. I don't, you know, I hope we got a little bit of talent there, but she's just, you know, I love her pedigree. And I think she's one of those fillies that, you know, she's another one that if she likes it to be this one, it could be a really fun filly to, you know, to have. I think she could kind of be in any surface kind of a horse, and she's, you know, she's pretty quick, but I think she's a filly that could stretch out, you know. She's kind of built like a little quarter horse, but she's she's got a great demeanor about it, very smart, just a neat little horse to be around.
She's had a couple of bullets, too. I mean, she certainly has worked well, and in fact, a minute and three-fifths bullet, best of 22 a couple of weeks ago. And you also you also blasted her from the gate on the 19th, 48-4, fifth of 27 from the gate. So it looks like she's ready.
I hope so. We'll see. Like I said, we got an off-track today, and, you know, hopefully she likes it. But, you know, I kind of like being out there on the outside with a first-timer, and she's game. She's kind of like Einstein. She loves her job. She loves to train. Breathing, she just thinks it's, you know, she thinks it's a big deal. You know, she's just, but she's a pistol. But she, you know, we'll see. I mean, I hope I'm not, you know, throwing her the wolves too much, but we're got to start somewhere, I guess, right?
Well, and entered
as
MTO.
Filly. Beautiful to look at.
We'll be watching her today. James Graham aboard. And James got off to a big start the other day.
He did. He had three wins yesterday. He won the last for me yesterday here, and he had three wins yesterday. So, yeah, we had a good day yesterday. I told him yesterday, let's keep it rolling.
Well, and did I miss that yesterday? What?
The last race yesterday, Churchill.
I was watching. You know, it's funny. I had latched on to Indiana at that point, and so I kind of I didn't even notice that subdued yesterday in the nightcap.
Yep, run a big race. Good spot.
Well, congratulations.
James is really phenomenal.
Oh, that's tremendous. Yes. Willow Springs Farm, homebred.
Yep, he's the same guy that owns that Philly Wins, the two-year-old we were just talking about. Yep. Actually, that's their half-brother and sister.
How about that?
So, yep.
Well, this was timely then. Something good yesterday, and then something a little sad.
I hope so. I figured Einstein was watching over me.
There it is. Alan, yes. Always a pleasure. And happy to get a chance to talk, even under this circumstance, saying goodbye to Einstein. But you just a tremendous job with him. And there's another Einstein either in the barn or hopefully coming your way soon.
I appreciate everything very much.
Not at all. Helen Pitts, everybody. Helen Pitts Blasey. And later today in the seventh race, MTO that got in, the 15, Imperial Moon. Let's get that one around. And the sprint maiden special, fillies. Let's take a break here, a little past the top of the hour, 15 actually, into hour two already. We've got Tony Black to join us next. And we'll talk to Tony about a stake win for him, through Collegeville Girl Saturday in New York. Back after this.
Racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Our Pennsylvania breeding program was, of course, impacted by the pandemic. Now, with our country getting back to work, we'd like to again talk about our program, the best in North America. Our breeder awards will remain up to 50% for PA-sired PA-breds. Owner bonuses will also stay at up to 40%. Restricted races will again be run at all three PA tracks, and PA Day at the Races will return. I'm Brian Sanfratello. For more, please visit PABred.com.
From BRL Equine, the people that bring you EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield, now comes Flexify HA, the most advanced scientifically based joint supplement on the market. To find out more, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880. To be the best, give them only the best. BRL Equine.
Sirius XM Sports presents